Здравствуйте, уважаемые друзья!
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm happy to welcome you at the launch of Visual Studio 2013 in Russia. I think you will like the program. We have a lot of presentations that will describe our innovations in the new version. At the plenary session, I would like to invite here people from Microsoft, Redmond, Sam Blankenshift, and Ed Salmond. Ed, who will tell us what is new in Visual Studio 2013. Welcome.
Здравствуйте. Спасибо за приглашение. Я очень рад еще раз быть в Москве. Это уже больше, чем 30 лет.
I'm happy to be in Moscow. I left Moscow 30 years ago. We had less gold on rooftops of temples and churches in Russia. But the Red Square did exist and was more red than today. I try to speak the language that my studio, that my audience understands. My slides are in English, but today they are in Russian. However, it's very difficult for me to speak Russian, and I will try to speak English.
Topic is about the transformation of software to devices and services. And someplace I have a clicker, or should have a clicker, and can talk about this. And before I talk about the future, I want to say thank you. Thank you for a really extraordinary year in 2012. We had worldwide 6 million downloads of Visual Studio 2012. We also started the fastest cadence that we've ever had. We had quarterly updates of Visual Studio. 60% of our customers took quarterly updates. This was an extraordinary record, and we have this week released Update 4 of Visual Studio 2012, in addition to the announcements that we're making today. And in addition to Visual Studio, we've had 2.2 billion page views on MSDN. So it's really been a phenomenal growth on Visual Studio. It's been an extraordinary year. And I want to call out a few things about the use in Russia. So we have, of the 2012 downloads in Russia, we have 1.5 million official downloads of Visual Studio 2012. Now that's despite, by the way, a 70% piracy rate. So it's quite a great number. And in addition, on the pre-release of Visual Studio 2013, we've had 40,000 users, which has been quite phenomenal. So thank you. And we have had 27,000 users of Team Foundation service. So thank you very much. These are all local numbers here from Russia. Let's talk about devices and services. Developers are really at the center of this. You know, they say developers are the new kingmakers. Okay, developers are the ones who are building the services, developers are producing the apps on the devices, developers are really the ones who are in control of this modern transformation. And we in Microsoft think that this transformation is based on a cloud operating system. That's where we've been moving. One cloud OS based on four ideas. One is people-centric IT. It's a bring-your-own-device world. So it used to be that the company provisioned every employee with a computer, and that was always the same computer. It was a Windows box or a whatever terminal. And now maybe it's Windows, maybe it's Android, maybe it's iOS, maybe it's whatever. But it's typically, or very frequently, it comes in with the employee. Bring your own. Second is the amount of data that's being generated. It's growing by an order of magnitude practically every year. The third is the transformation we see in the data center. It used to be the data center was ours. It was this big, it had this capacity, looked like that, and you put yourself in the queue to get something provisioned in the data center, and that was it. Now the data center is something very elastic. So it's private, it's public, it's hybrid, it doesn't have these kind of walls that it used to have. And finally, the modern business application is a different pattern than it used to be. Let's drill into that for a minute. So I assume that most of you are familiar with VisualStudio.net. Today we have .NET 4.5.1 as part of the announcements. .NET, whether you're working on Windows Server on-premise or Windows Azure in the cloud, provides the services behind the application. And then on the front end, you might have a desktop, you might have a tablet, you might have a phone, you might have a web browser using HTML5, you might have an iOS device, you might have an Android device, and all of this together is the new application pattern. And when we talk to developers and we ask, what's the application you're working on, they talk about this as the application. And 60% of developers we talk to worldwide say they're working on three or more technologies together as part of their application. It's no longer just this one piece. That's the modern business app. So we've set up a demonstration of something called My Company, which we'll use through the morning to give you a feeling for what it's like to work in a modern business app. I'm going to call my colleague Ed Blankenship up to give us a feel for what My Company is like. And this is available to you on MSDN as a sample, and we can take a look. So Ed, what's in My Company?
Yes, so I work on one of the dev teams for the My Company suite of applications, and this is very typical of the modern business application. We have several different applications we build internally that use the same set of data and from our HR systems and from our accounting systems. And you'll see I've got several here. I've got visitors, expenses, travel, staff, vacation. One common thing that we have on these is that we do use the same data, both up on the cloud and on-premises. So, for example, one of the things we want to do is leverage our existing resources like Azure, Active Directory, and Federation from our Active Directory on-premises. So we'll do that with single sign-on. We'll use that. We also want to take advantage of being able to have our applications span both on-premises and up in the cloud, and that's with Azure Service Bus, so we're able to do that as well. But these applications are very typical of modern business applications. You'll see them be both HTML5 based, Windows Store, mobile phone. We have all sorts of clients for these. So be sure to download this sample set and we'll go through them. One of the main ones we'll go through today is the visitors application, which lets our receptionists and us track our visitors as they come through each day.
So you're doing this on-prem and in the cloud, and you have multiple front ends.
Absolutely. And okay. And we're leveraging both Windows Server and Windows Azure up in the cloud.
Okay.
All right.
Great. Okay. So we'll go through that over the course of the morning, and we'll build up pieces for you. Now, Visual Studio, I started using in the 90s. I was a customer.
I'm afraid to admit this. I've actually used VB for DOS. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, BASIC was Bill Gates' first product. So there you go. I joined Microsoft 10 years ago when we were taking what was the individual IDE and turning it into the team environment in the client-server era. And now we're taking a new era into being as we bring Visual Studio into services. So we're announcing here this week something called Visual Studio Online. What's Visual Studio Online? It's a service offering that is designed to address the complete developer and DevOps workflow. So from code to managing work, to building, testing, deploying, getting insights from the running application in production, to iterating again through code and work and build and test and deployment, to gaining more insight as to what to do, and give you a complete environment for that. Okay? It's one product and services unified. It's using some new and some existing services, and we're providing it under a set of flexible plans. If you're a small team that has five or fewer, it's free of charge. I'm going to say that again. If you're a small team, five or fewer, it's free of charge. If you're an MSDN subscriber, it's included. If you are neither of those, not an MSDN subscriber, and you're a team larger than five, there are cloud-based subscriptions that allow you to pay as you go on a monthly basis. They are tiered according to how much of the services you plan to use. So let's take a little look at how it works. I'm here on the marketing site. And you'll see directly on the marketing site there is a. I'm using the English one. You'll see Visual Studio is online. Visual Studio Online is there. Better with Visual Studio Online. Learn more. I can click there. Should be able to click there. And you can see right up here the little green getting started, get started for free. As I scroll down, it gives me the pricing, Visual Studio Online Basic, integrates with popular IDEs, Visual Studio, Eclipse, and Xcode. So not just the .NET IDE, Visual Studio Online Professional includes the IDE Visual Studio Professional. Introductory pricing, $22.50 per month, Visual Studio Advanced for larger projects, includes Agile Portfolio Management and so forth. And there's a little comparison chart showing you what you've got. This is, of course, US pricing right now. We'll be introducing localized pricing as we go. All right. Now, when you sign up, as I've signed up here, you see you get hello.
Yep, go ahead.
Hello, come on, click.
Everyone's on the internet, right?
Is there this we not go. Cabled? This is cabled.
Okay. We're on the cable now.
Okay. The you have, for those of you who've used Team Foundation Service in the past, something that looks fairly familiar. You have work for Agile Project Management, a coding experience, builds that you can run in the cloud, test case management that you can do in the cloud. You have tiles for key things like bugs, sprint backlog items, what's the status of the builds we've been running, social connection to my team members in my team, and I can right here open things directly into the IDE from here. Okay, my sprint backlog, so forth.
I should point out, my dev team is pretty good. We have no bugs right now, so.
At the moment.
At the moment.
Okay, so, yeah. Nice one. we've introduced in this an editing experience through the browser. We have a code name for this called Monaco. That'll probably change. But it gives you a full JavaScript edit experience, so you don't need the IDE for Azure websites. And you have a context-sensitive editing experience that you can use directly as part of VS Online. So we're extending the IDE into the cloud as well. Now, this is all part of what you get with MSDN. And MSDN is providing not just Visual Studio Online, but it's also providing you Windows Azure benefits. Windows Azure, as you know, is our cloud platform. So why should you be interested in Windows Azure? Who's played with Windows Azure? About 15% of the audience? Okay. So let me say a few words about this. Okay, so Windows Azure helps you with a few things. So the first is time to market. If you're a small team, you can be up and running in less than a minute. Maybe, you know, 40 seconds, 50 seconds, okay? You get your dev test environment up, you get it provisioned, you're going. Okay, so you're really able to get going, and you as a small company can suddenly appear to have a global presence. Okay. Second, if you know .NET or, you know, JavaScript and HTML, you can work with it. It's flexible, it's consistent, it's the development environment you know. All that works with it. It's just there, it works. It works the same way you're used to. And the third is economics. You don't need any infrastructure. There's no capital expense. It just is pay as you go. You use what you use, you pay for what you use. You don't need to pay for what you don't use. You don't need to pay for idle time. When you're not using it, you shut it off, and that's not an expense for you. Okay, so it's a whole different idea of computing. Pay as you go. We're building out Windows Azure around the globe. So we have points of presence, both with data centers and with CDNs for endpoints all over the globe. Okay, so you can get access from Moscow, you can get access from Sydney, you can get access where you need it, and you can locate your VMs and your sites in the data centers you want to put them. And every few months, new ones come online. Okay, the growth is phenomenal. More than half of the Fortune 500 are already using Azure. We're onboarding about 1,000 customers a day. We have doubled the use of compute and storage in the last 6 months. We have doubled the MSDN take-up of Azure in the last 6 months. We have 170K websites that are going up now on Azure. And we have about 430 billion Active Directory sign-ons through Azure. Really phenomenal acceptance of the service. It's quite amazing. So whether you're looking at just dev and test for web apps, for extending your existing apps, or for doing mobile apps, the use of Visual Studio with MSDN and Azure together is really a better together experience. It's really probably the best experience that you can find. And as an MSDN subscriber, you get very specific benefits to help you use it. You don't need a credit card. You can just use your MSDN sign-on. You get discounted rates up to 97% off from retail. And you get the credits that are visible directly in your Azure portal so you can take advantage of it. So, for example, this is US pricing. Russian pricing, I think, is actually even a little more favorable. Depending on what level of MSDN you are subscribed to, you get a different level of credits. Let's take the middle level, the premium as an example. You get $100 a month of credits. That's enough for you to be a workaholic and use three VMs at 16 hours a day for a month. Okay? So that gives you 8 hours a day to sleep and turn them off. Okay? If you don't want to sleep that much, you may go a little bit over it, and the overage price is not very expensive. But if you can get by on 8 hours a day of sleep, that gives you three VMs a month, okay? Or you can run 500 websites with a database, okay? Just based on those credits. Okay. So let's take a demo. Let's take a look at a demo of what that dev and test experience is like with Azure and Visual Studio.
It's okay? Great. It's pretty flexible. I can use my credits for just about anything, but you'll actually notice I'm starting to use a good bit of my credits across all of the different resources available to me.
Since Ed doesn't mention it, this is what the Azure portal looks like for those of you who haven't seen it. It's a web page. See Windows Azure at the top and the credit status showing you how much you've used was just there in that little bar.
There we go. It's coming back. The other thing you might have noticed is Visual Studio Online is now available right from the Azure Management Portal as well, so we're bringing those experiences together. But one of the really nice things I have access to as an MSDN subscriber that's new is I want to be able to use a developer workstation each day, and I can have that up in Azure. And one of the cool things about it is, you know what, when I go home, I can shut that down. I'm not paying for it anymore. I can shut it down over the weekend. It's only when I'm actually using it that I'm actually paying for it or using my MSDN credits for that. But what you can do is we're going to help you speed up that process even more. Here's the Azure VM template gallery. And you'll notice we actually have some VM templates that are specific for developers. So, for example, this one already has Visual Studio installed on it.
Pretty cool. Now, before you go on, I want to say that we don't expect everyone to be doing only .NET development. So It looks like there's some Unix-based and Oracle-based images in that gallery as well. So you can spin up whatever VMs you want, but for VS development, they're right there. So we can just go and let's spin up one with VS. And that's not just VS, that's...
Yes, we've also included SQL Server and SharePoint on that same box. So in case you need it, it's available to you. We even have some PowerShell scripts to get you up and running really, really quickly. So for example, SharePoint configuration usually takes a little while. We've got a PowerShell script that gets that up and going within minutes for you. But I'll just create one for you, Sam. So we'll go here. I'll set up a password for you. I can come in here and pick which data center I'd like. So since we're up
North
here in
Europe
Moscow,
looks good.
We'll put that one in there. Another thing is we'll automatically go ahead and set up some firewall rules for you. We need to probably want, we'll want a remote desktop into
yeah,
this,
good
so
idea.
I'll set that up. But we're up and going. It'll start provisioning that for us right behind the scenes.
Yep.
And it'll be ready to go.
Okay. So those are the steps to set up a dev test environment in Azure. Okay, from the portal.
It's publicly available, though. So
that's a good point. Now, a lot of enterprise customers say, hey, hang on. I don't want all my code out on the internet, you know. Not quite sure who's going to look at it. And there are a bunch of government agencies looking around in the internet these days and governments I might not trust. So how
we have a friend here, don't we?
Yeah, so how do we make this more secure?
That's a great point. So what we can do is, and that VM I just created lets me connect to it securely. I mean, we still have to have a password through remote desktop, but that's a remote desktop connection anywhere in the world. What I can do instead is I can actually set up a site-to-site connection using Azure Virtual Networking with any standard hardware-based router. So Cisco, Juniper, we can set that up so that this dev test cloud that's in Azure is now part of our on-premises network. And it's a encrypted tunnel that's available for there. These VMs actually even appear to be on the network. So I can now lock it down to where I can only remote desktop into it from our network.
So you're telling me I provide an IP range, and that IP range is then limited to my access.
Exactly. It's even 10.0.1.4. You can see what I'm putting these VMs now in there.
I see.
It's great because I've basically extended my data center. It is pretty transparent to me.
So it's like, you know, punching the wall out of the data center and putting an extension in it.
Exactly, but still being secure and
right.
Making sure that we're protecting
right.
our
right.
corporate data.
Okay. So we're tunneling through. Okay.
The other great thing about a tunnel is it's not just one way.
Right.
It's two way. So I can actually take the servers and the dev workstations and all the other things that I'm creating in here as part of the Azure cloud, and I can connect back to resources that exist on premises. So there may be databases, DNS, Active Directory. My Team Foundation server could even be on premises, and I want to connect my dev workstation back to TFS and get a new source code.
So if I'm restricted to keeping my data on-prem,
exactly,
I can keep my data on-site but put my app server in the cloud, and that works fine.
Exactly. So I can create a new dev or test Azure website, use that, kill it when it's done, but it's still
right.
able to access
great.
The
great.
Resources on premises. Not only have we done this, but you know, sometimes I don't want to spend my time in the Azure Management Portal. So one of the things we've done for developers using Azure in Visual Studio 2013 and with the new Azure SDK 2.2 version is we can now connect to Windows Azure straight from Server Explorer. So I can go ahead, connect to it. I don't have to worry about any kind of management certificates or anything. I can go in and use my own credentials. And then what happens is I can start to see all of my resources and interact with them. So for example, we'll get our virtual machines going in here. And these are all the virtual machines that are already in my subscription.
So Server Explorer is now connecting to Azure as well, not just to my local servers.
Correct.
Okay.
Love the demo ghost, don't we? There we go.
Yeah, it's okay.
Here we go. So here's our virtual machines. I even have one in here that's ready for us. It's our dev machine. I can connect to it using remote desktop with the password I just created. But I can also see all the websites in here. So if I take a look here, I can even come here. I can say open the properties. I can change the properties on here, like the ASP.NET version or our verbosity level for logging.
Right, right.
So we're able to do that, save those. I didn't even have to go to the Azure Management Portal to do any of this.
Right. So all from inside VS, in the Server Explorer, you get control of the VMs.
Exactly.
Okay, very cool.
All right.
Now, one of the things that's an issue because these VMs are remote is how you're going to be able to debug what's on them.
Yes, so let me get that set up really quickly, and we'll come back to that in just shortly. All right, so let's go ahead, and I'll get that going now. Let's see here. We'll open this up. And then I see all my solutions. I've actually connected up to our Visual Studio Online account here. I'll open this up right here. And then now...
So you're using Visual Studio Online, which is hosted on Azure in one place.
Exactly.
And you're connecting to a VM, which is hosted in another place.
Yes.
So you're actually working across Azure data centers.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
From here in Moscow.
Cool. Right. Here in Moscow. Okay,
yes.
This is all pretty cool.
Now, I can also create websites really, really quickly. So if I don't want to deal with infrastructure like VMs, I can actually just create a website here and go in here and say, hey, VS in Russia rocks, and then say we'll go in Northern Europe. I'll go ahead and create that. That'll go ahead and create it. It's really easy. I can start to publish to it. But I've already got a few here, but our dev environments, production environments, everything in here. But you just mentioned it's really hard to actually debug. So what I can do here is I can attach a debugger now that I've got that open. And what it'll do is it'll connect up to Windows Azure. It'll open a browser right here for me, right to that particular site. So we'll give that a second. Another thing that we get is I can go ahead and view the streaming logs in the output window. So I've set my verbosity to be verbose. So let's give it a second here. We'll let it spin up there. All right. So let's log in here. There we go. Glad I remembered my password. There we go. So we're starting to get information straight from our Azure website here. So we're connected now. If I come back in here, I can start to do different activities like browse around here. Let's go in. Adriana is on our team. What I'm going to do is I'm going to change her name really quickly. And it was, hey, there's a problem.
Yeah, well, we got an error.
I'm actually not sure what this is. And normally I would need access to the machine, set up remote debugging. Firewall. Goodness gracious.
Where you need to get
all
on
sorts
the production
of stuff.
Server.
But what's great is Visual Studio is connected right up to here. I didn't end up setting a breakpoint, but I'll just show you. We're now starting to get tracing and debugging information right here in Visual Studio. So in this case, I didn't realize it. I only put two letters in her name. And now you've got, you can see exactly what messages you're getting here. But you get the full debugging experience for this, so it's great.
Okay, so you've now gotten a message from the server that was off in Azure, based on your using this that in Azure, And you can go directly, of course, and modify
exactly.
the visitor site.
Very exactly. cool.
Okay. Correct. Now,
yes, you sure can. So you publish up, make sure your symbols are right in there, and you're good to go. You can step through, and you're good to go there.
The question was, for those of you who didn't hear it, what about breakpoints? Yes, you can set the breakpoint in VS and step through and go, and the breakpoints will let you step through on the site running in Azure. Was there another question back there?
Oh yeah, it. So you don't want to do that. We'll hold that thought.
The thought about debugging on the production website.
Right.
For a few minutes, okay. We'll come back to what you do on the production website, and show you how you trap errors on the production website in a little bit, okay. And if we don't satisfy you.
Oh, we will.
Ask it again.
Oh, we will.
All right.
Some new stuff coming, okay. So.
Okay. Was there anything else you wanted
nope.
to do? Okay. So, that was developing with Visual Studio and Azure, of course. Now, those of you who've used ASP.NET before know that ASP.NET got kind of split into these different templates. We now have one ASP.NET, and similar to the way Visual Studio's gotten on a faster cadence, ASP.NET's gotten on a really fast cadence, and one ASP.NET is releasing every 2 weeks and is open sourced. One ASP.NET every 2 weeks comes out with its updates, and it includes web forms, web pages, single page apps, MVC, the web API, and SignalR for real-time event passing. It works for sites, and it works for web services, and because it's open source, it also works for your own contributions to it. So you don't need to choose which of the models of ASP.NET you can. All of the corresponding patterns are brought in for you. So let's take a look at using one ASP.NET as the model for doing site development. I'll come back to the announcement in a minute.
Okay. So it's really easy to get started as a web developer now in Visual Studio 2013. I already have Web Essentials. It's a free add-in that we release every 2 weeks. It's open source as well, so you can take a look at it. But it's really easy to go here. So I can go in, create new project. You'll see we only have one project template now. It's called an ASP.NET web application. But if you'll notice in here, we now let you choose. But you aren't frozen to that choice as well. So for example, I can start out with an MVC application, but still take advantage of web forms when I want to.
So you got those checkboxes down
there.
Right.
I can add whichever references. We'll do that now, but you can always add them later. So you're not forced into anything right now. The other thing that we do is we will set up the plumbing for you as well. So if, for example, in this case, I've set this up as an individual authentication, so maybe with some social networks like Facebook, Twitter, Microsoft account. But I can also select organizations. So whether I'm building, maybe I'm an ISV and I'm building a multi-tenant application, or I'm just in my company and I want to build an internal application. In this case, I'm going to use, what this is actually Windows Azure Active Directory, and it's the federation of your Active Directory that's on-premises.
So this is similar to what we did for the setting up our dev test environment where we were using the Active Directory to do setup there.
Exactly,
right?
And what we've done is I can now set this up. It'll actually put all the plumbing in, and I don't have to worry about
it. Okay, got it.
This is provider-based, so you can create your own authentication provider as well, or you can just use the ones that are available in the box. So what I'll do there is I will go ahead and create a new project here, and we're taking advantage of several different open source projects as part of this. So, for example, if I take a look here.
I see you have a page already.
And we've updated that page so that we let you get started. You don't have to go find the documentation. We've got it right here linked from the default page. But you'll notice we're actually using one of the open source projects that are out there that's very popular, which is Bootstrap.
Yeah, so that's from Twitter, right?
That's correct. So let me go ahead and find Bootstrap here. There it is. There's a CSS file for it. And this is built right into the ASP.NET templates going forward. So we're taking advantage of this open source project, SignalR. There's all sorts of great ones that we're using and contributing to as well.
Now, if I'm not a CSS guru...
I don't blame you.
Okay. How do I deal with understanding what shows up in what browser?
Oh, yes. That's... Oh, how many people have handled that pain, having to deal with all sorts of different browsers? Oh. So what we've done is now, if you take a look here, we're actually going to let you know about the different CSS tags and which browser versions they're supported in, and the versions of them as well. So you'll see I've gotten some good stuff in here. You'll also notice, you know, I can start to hide things as we need to. We also have some other CSS improvements, so things like colors. I can go in and select a new color if I want to. We'll do that. We'll also be able to refresh information. So let me show you a little bit about that, Sam. All right. So I've got my company visitors application open here. Let's see here. One of the things I really need to do with that CSS is be able to test it across multiple versions, multiple browsers.
Yep, absolutely.
So what we've done in Visual Studio 2013 is allow you to actually select multiple browsers that you can go and start browsing in. I happen to have Chrome and IE on this one. So we'll browse to both. And I'll put this over here.
Okay, so what I'm seeing here is Visual Studio over there, and then IE and Chrome sharing the screen over here.
Exactly.
Is that what I'm watching?
Exactly. Okay. It's the same application. I'm going to navigate to this Frequently Asked Questions page here.
Okay.
But one of the cool things that we've done in Visual Studio 2013 is we've taken SignalR and actually hosted it in the process, in the IDE. And so if you'll take a look here, we now know from Visual Studio which clients are actually connected to it. We've created a bridge between the browser and the IDE. In this case, it knows that it's Chrome and Internet Explorer on my machine, but if there were my mobile browser, I could be connected to it, other people could be connected to it, we know all of the connections. And so that's useful when we want to do some things like, for example, I might want to go in and make a change here. So I might go in and say, hey, frequent questions. And then what we can do is we can come up here and refresh. And you'll notice over here, there we go. We're actually refreshing
so
in each of the browsers.
So changes in both browsers.
Exactly.
Got it.
That's kind of cool.
Okay.
But I can take it one step further.
Okay.
So one of the things we've also done is I mentioned that's a bridge. It's actually a two-way bridge. So if I come in here and I go into the browser link dashboard, you'll see that we've actually made this very extensible. We've made browser link extensible. So you can see we've got these down here. But I can start to add other things onto it. And so one of the things we've done, and remember, Web Essentials is open source, so you can take a look at our example here. But this is from Web Essentials. I'm going to go into design mode, and what that does is now over in Internet Explorer, I can start to hover over elements, and if you look over in VS, it starts to highlight those. So it's the browser talking back to Visual Studio as well. It's that two-way browser link.
So when kinda
cool?
When you move over here in the browser, it's showing me the HTML that's relevant over there in the IDE. Is that what I'm seeing?
That's what you're seeing. That's kind of cool.
All right.
Let me take it one step further. We can actually even go in and edit.
Okay.
And we've now gone in and updated it into VS with that browser link, and we can even go in and refresh that and show it right back to all the browsers.
Got it.
So, lots of great stuff.
What
there.
Do you think?
All right.
Okay. So that lets me figure out what's happening in all the browsers at the same time. That's pretty cool.
Great stuff for ASP.NET developers.
Now, browsers are one of the front ends we need to worry about in this composite application. We also have an announcement about some of the others. How many of you know about Xamarin? About 20% of you. Xamarin is a partner company of ours that lets you take .NET portable class libraries and put them on Android and iOS. So Xamarin's announced for MSDN subscribers a 40% discount and free training so that you can take your C# and take these same applications and make Android and iOS out of them from Visual Studio. So now we've got this full spectrum across the different front ends, and you have the native mobile apps for those heterogeneous applications as well.
This is going to be great for you building portable class libraries that are being able to be reusable with the same C#. It's great stuff.
Right. Okay. No talk about Visual Studio Online would, of course, be complete without talking about the whole application lifecycle. And so we've given you something about Visual Studio and Azure. Let's talk about the modern lifecycle. Now, I've been at this for longer than I care to admit. We used to talk about diverse teams, and we meant geographically spread out. Now, when we talk about diverse, we mean different technologies, and we mean different processes, and different geographies. And all of that leads us to the issue of team autonomy, and the teams working according to their own rules. And it's also led to the issue of agility in development, where teams work very fast in sprints in development, and those sprints in development have created a problem where that speed in development hasn't been matched by speed in production. And we've created a problem where production hasn't caught up. And that's led to this whole discussion about DevOps and how do you achieve that whole cadence across development and operations. So what we have done in Visual Studio Online is we've tried to enable that whole thing as ALM, Application Lifecycle Management, your way. For Team Foundation Server, you've probably known about lab management and release management and load testing and SharePoint that we've put in, and Project Server, and the connections with System Center. For Visual Studio Online, we've been providing a similar set of services. So you get hosted build, you get load test as a service, you will get continuous deployment as a service. You'll get something we'll tell you about in a minute called Application Insights, which will address the question, what about when users are connected, and code editing that we talked about. So unlike in the past, when we said development was over here, operations was over here. These guys used one process, Agile, CMMI, whatever. These guys in operations used a different process, idle, whatever. It's one process. And we'll show you the one process. Now, for planning, there have been a few impediments. Agile's worked really well for small teams. Scrum started by talking about an ideal team size of 7, but what happened when you scaled to 700? Or, God forbid, more? Okay. What happened when you wanted to have a holistic view of the investments? And what happened when you wanted to give the right level of autonomy to the team? So let's take a look at what we've done in VS Online for those things.
All right. So I've got Visual Studio Online, which is also a set of capabilities that we also deliver on premises, like you mentioned, with Team Foundation Server. So this is our team dashboard. We're doing pretty well here. I'm able to track everything, like we mentioned a while ago. But one of the things we do with planning is that we use our product backlog. And our product backlog allows us to take each of our product backlog items and bugs and stack rank them. But this is really my team's view of it. We have other teams working at my company. They're building all those other applications. And so what we want to do is we want to have a higher level of tracking. In this case, we want to think about what our business objectives are. And so, Sam, you've been talking to me that we need to really think about using our Active Directory instead of some other authentication. So what I'll do is I'll this is really Sam's view into what we're doing across the company with our business objectives. So I'll go in here and say change authentication over to Windows, Azure, Active Directory with Federation. All right, so I'll add that in there. That's now a business objective that all of our teams are going to work on. So Ed on the My Visitors team is going to be able to break my backlog items down into those, but the other teams are as well. So this gives us two different views. Sam, you can take a look into breaking everything down at any level you want, from business objectives to all of the product backlog items that each of the teams are working on, all the way down to even tasks if you want. But also my team members and my devs are able to take a look at what we're contributing to for our business objectives as well. So that's a kind of a nice view. We can look at it either way.
So I've got hierarchy in the product backlog that lets me see, and I can choose at which level I want to review it.
Exactly.
So the team's got tasks, and I've got features or value props. Great.
Exactly.
Cool.
So one of the other things that you mentioned is, hey, there are multiple teams. We're all working together. But you know what? My team works a little better because we're spread out. We work better with Scrum in our case. Some of the other teams have adopted some of the other things. One of the nice things we also have done is we've adopted some lean principles, including being able to have a Kanban board that actually shows our continuous flow.
Totally.
Now, one of the things, though, is I need to really customize this. So in our case, I'd like to actually have another column here that says, hey, run by Sam.
Well,
the other teams.
I don't know that's the right column, but. How about a fast UX test?
There you go. How about that? We'll run it by UX instead. We don't want you to be the blocker of new value.
Don't make me the bottleneck and call it Agile.
There you go. So what we've done here is I can actually add a new column here, but we've all agreed on a certain set of reporting principles of our statuses. So we've gone in and I can map this to the states that all of the other teams are mapping to, but still allow myself to have the ability to have custom columns and custom processes for my team. So we can move those over.
So your Scrum team of 7 has its special Kanban column.
Exactly.
And it doesn't affect anyone else.
Everyone can have their own.
So, beautiful.
And we can update it anytime.
Beautiful.
So it's great.
Okay, got it.
Another thing that my team likes to do, and you know, without having to customize this, is we like to take advantage of tags. So now in Visual Studio Online and TFS 2013, we actually use tags. And these are very ad hoc. We change these tags from time to time. But in this case, you know, we'll mark things that are blocking, you know, which product backlog items go with which of our mobile mm-hmm. applications. And then, you know, hey, sometimes Sam asks for them, so we need to make sure that we... that's the way we track them.
Okay, fine.
So we can go in. You can start to see I can even filter the backlog based on those tags as well. So I can get a good view of our product backlog, whichever way we want to. And those, we can change as we need to.
Okay. You're making us seem pretty dysfunctional.
Hey, you
not
know.
Not sure I like
that's
that.
Normal okay. teams, right?
Okay. So let's see. Okay, so what we've done for planning here is we've taken these agile planning tools and we've tried to deal with the distribution of teams. So different teams can have different Kanban boards, but they all come together and the heterogeneity works. So if one's working with hardware, it can have a you know, device testing column or what have you, and it doesn't screw everything else up. The portfolio management lets me see the backlog hierarchically and look at the value props at a high level, down to the tasks at a low level. And teams are empowered with that flexibility in those processes. Now, planning's, of course, just one piece you need to develop and test. In development, I can't tell you the number of issues that come up around collaboration, especially when you're remote, and when sometimes you get on airplanes, like some of us do. And I can't tell you the number of times I've had to hand off code, or have someone's handed me code, or what have you, and it's been like, what? What's this doing? And it's been the stepping through. And then you have the classic problem that performance is something you discover late in the game. And testing, load testing in particular, is something that you do typically real late because it requires all this infrastructure and hardware. So let's see what we've done for that.
All right. So I've got our homepage up again. Sam, you mentioned my team is of seven. We're actually all over the place. We're across four different time zones, and we need to keep track of things, especially as we go through meetings or on the plane. One of the things that I did yesterday, we now have a team room that's really helpful for me to keep track of what's going on. It's essentially a durable record of all of the activities that are going on here. So you can see this is just our team. Other teams have other team rooms. But you can see, you know, we've got change sets coming in. We've got bugs being assigned to us, tasks. Builds are happening. Oh, there's a couple of failed builds. We'll have to go talk to Julia about that. I can also get some good information about what's going on here. So, for example, here's a change set. We can look at the details and the changes there. I can even go in and say, oh, man, what did Julia do? Hey, need to get this fixed. And I can pass that on. It's kind of a lightweight code commenting experience there. But we can also go back in time. We can look at other things. But what I might want to do is I want to actually say, hey, I'm going to give Brian a note. He's off somewhere. He'll see this whenever I get back over here. But it would say, hey, how are those genes working out for you?
That's not a fair use of the team.
I know, but we have to keep the humor in there somewhere. So when Brian comes back and he logs in, he'll get a notification, but it'll also show orange for him so he can quickly look back and see if there's any conversations about it. Another one is, you know what, there's a bug that we have, and you know what, Sam, I need you to take a look at it. So, hey, Sam, is this bug number 231 important? And you'll notice we actually can track the different kinds of of
and
traceability.
So that's hyperlinked. Got it.
Exactly.
From
so we
the
can,
team room. Got it.
It makes it really easy for us to collaborate and keep a track of what we've been doing over the over time.
Okay, so I get the team room thing. Tell me about working with code. So
yeah. So I hate going into existing code bases, especially if I've never seen anything. So for example, when I go in and I see there's a problem with this one, there's a test here that's failing, we now get CodeLens, which is connected from Visual Studio up to Visual Studio Online or TFS and looking at all the data that we have about the history of this method. We're kind of putting this heads-up tool display to give you some information about what's going on. So how many times it's being called from other places. I can see, hey, this test is failing. I can run it very quickly. I can
so
also
you
see...
inside the code here have these little markers that are telling me who changed it.
Exactly. I can go bother Brian Keller.
Right.
He's probably on a plane somewhere, but
right.
I'll get
He's
him whenever he gets back.
Yeah, okay.
But then I can even take a look and say, hey, this is the change he made at that time, and we can start to get different views on it. But we're going to take all that information, work items, tests, references. We can see how many times this particular method is being called. This one's a test, so it's not really being called from other methods. But you start to get lots of great information that I can get very, very quickly as we start to go into code bases that are not familiar with us.
Very cool.
Another thing that my team uses, especially as we travel and we're all in different places, is the great Git support now in Visual Studio Online and in TFS 2013. So Git is a native source control repository that we now have as part of VS Online and TFS. It's enterprise-grade Git hosting, so we put it back in SQL Server. We do all the great things there. But the nice thing about it is it's integrated with all of our ALM activities. So you think about work items, you think about builds. We've got that all in there. So you'll see now in Visual Studio, we have great Git support here. I can open up that solution that's in here. I can go in and make some changes. So we go in and say, hey, we're having fun in Russia.
So you can use Git for your source control, and all of the TFS features light up.
Exactly.
So you have the combination of distributed source control, and the rest of the team can be using centralized version control. Or
exactly.
You have the combination.
Exactly. And the
great
thing is,
all of the work item linkage, everything else works the same way.
Everything's working great. And actually, I'm working in a local clone of my Git repository. So I'm actually working on the plane right now. I can make some changes. I can commit them. So new commit. And I can do this over time. And but I haven't pushed that back up to the central copy of this that's up on TFS. So I can go in here. And I can take all those commits, and I can sync those back up to the master branch that's up and being managed on TFS. So I can work locally, I can push this to other developers and new collaboration experiences there, and then I can bring those back up to TFS when we're ready.
And so, the Git identities are the same?
Exactly. You see
TFS
right here,
identities,
there's Ed, my yep. little picture there. We're good to go. Right. Same.
Fantastic. Okay.
Now, the last thing is I only have a team of seven.
Right.
Yeah. Load testing is pretty difficult. I've always had to set up servers on premises or up in Azure and, gosh, keep them up. And that's why we never do it, Sam. So what we now have is I have my team now taking advantage of Visual Studio Online and the cloud load testing service, which is a companion to the cloud build service. And what this does is we don't even have to know about infrastructure. Give us your build, give us your load tests. We'll figure out the rest for you. So what I've done is I have a load test here, a web performance test, and you'll see it's got all the standard load test stuff that you've been used to. So I can, you know, put different kinds of tests in there.
This is the same web test we had in Visual Studio for a long time.
Exactly. The only difference now in 2013 is I get another option here, which is run tests using Visual Studio Online load testing service.
Right. Still says Team Foundation Service, but that's
because we just
online.
Announced right. it.
Yeah, okay, got it.
Update one, it'll change,
yeah,
and you'll
it.
Be good to
got
go.
It.
So I just say, I just set it for that, and I say start test, and it'll automatically go start the test using whatever numbers we want. So in this case,
so
while you were talking a minute
ago. So this is going to use Azure, provision Azure to drive the tests at my site or my app.
Exactly, and my site can be either up in Azure or it can be on premises. It doesn't matter. Wherever the endpoint is. And so you'll see I ran this one while you were talking just a minute ago.
Right.
And I've got all this back. It was my laptop connecting up to Azure, and Azure with Visual Studio Online was actually setting up all those load testing agents.
Very
I haven't
cool.
had to do anything. Great part about it also is my team actually didn't have to pay for anything because we give you a free amount of load testing minutes every month with your Visual Studio Online account.
So this is part of those MSDN benefits.
Exactly. So
very cool. So you get so there's no excuse now not to do performance testing with every sprint.
Exactly. You won't catch us not doing that anymore.
Right. Okay. Got it. Very nice. So what we've done is we've made it really easy to collaborate across teams with Teamroom. We've used CodeLens that gives you these indicators that lets you see what's going on with the code, who's made the changes, where tests are failing. You get these little heads-up displays that let you see into failing tests, into the changes, into who's doing what. And elastic load testing with Azure is one of those things you get with the MSDN benefits. Now, one of the most problematic things, and frankly one of the problems that's been created worse or made worse by agile development, has been release. So releases are typically manual. They're typically error-prone. You have agile teams working in these fast sprints. And you have operation teams saying, please, no more.
He's talking about my team.
And, you know, and then what gets released, you're not quite sure what's released. You're not quite sure which version it is. You don't have good visibility into it. And it's really hard to collaborate across the teams. So one of our announcements is that we've introduced release management into Visual Studio. We acquired InRelease last June, and now we've built that into Visual Studio, and it's part of the product. So what we'd like to do is to show you how release management works and how you can set up a release pipeline directly into your product.
All right, so this is release management. This is available for you to download today in MSDN subscriber download, so you can get all the pieces for this. It integrates with TFS and Visual Studio. You were talking exactly about our teams. We've been pushing so much code now that we're good at doing that. The ops guys are like, hey, we can't take it anymore. So actually what we've done is we've worked together. We've used release management to help us with automating our deployment. But the ops team has been using a different process than we have in our pre-production environments. So what we've done is we've come together and we've now automated it for each of our environments. So we keep the same pieces that are very similar. We can put in new ones if we want to. We can also track the changes between the different environments as well. So for example, you know what, I come in here, we have different configuration that's different for each of those, so we can go ahead and track those as well. So we can do those automated deployments really easily using the tool, and we can track those and manage our environments there. But the other thing you were mentioning was that there's a people process involved with this. And so at my company, we actually have to make sure that we track certain things like approvals and acceptance criteria as we move from stage to stage. And so I can actually model that, whatever our process is for our team. And you'll notice here, you'll see we've got approvers. And this is also tied back to the deployment mechanism. So for example, as soon as the QA team approves our new change, it'll automatically start deploying in there. And when ops, actually Brian Keller is our approver for production. Whenever he does it, he can immediately schedule a deployment or schedule it for another time. And so we're able to track all of that in there. We have a nice experience for approvals. I'll show you one that we just did a little while ago. But this is from that build. And I can take a look at all the information that we gathered. So for example, here it was accepted. Here's the timestamps. We can look at each stage and look at the comments from each of the people as they moved along in the release process. So great stuff here.
I saw on that last screen you had the choice between manual and automated.
Yes.
So you have the choice whether you want automated movement from stage to stage or whether you want the idea of, you know, two keys on the missile launch.
You notice production is
right.
We don't make anything
automated
there.
And teams work both ways. Teams work both ways.
There you go.
So we now have the release pipeline built in, and the result from users of this is that they are deploying much more frequently and much more reliably. So you can see what's in release. You can see which versions it is. You know what the status is. You can track it all for audit purposes. It's all there without friction. Then it's in production. And of course, once it's in production, you have some different questions. What's the health? What's the performance, the availability, the reliability of the server? What are my users doing? What are the root causes of failures? And what should I learn from what's going on in production that helps me influence the prioritization of the next set of investments? Okay. And this goes to the gentleman's question. Well, that's not really a debugging thing if there are 100 people connected to my website. So this leads us to our next announcement. We are going into a limited preview of something called Application Insights, which will be part of Visual Studio Online. Okay? This is the coolest thing in Visual Studio Online. So pay attention closely as we show you what we're about to do. All right, back to you, Ed.
Yes, Sam. So I'm in my Visual Studio Online account, and you'll see, as of yesterday, you'll now see a little tile here for Try Application Insights. And so you can click on that. It's a limited preview, so you get access to it by invitation codes. And if you don't have one, you can request one and add yourself to the waiting list here. But I've already got this set up. I've got my invitation code, and we started to use this to collect information about what's happening in production and also in our dev and QA environments. And part of our application is up in Azure. Part of it is up on premises, and so we can install the agent and get information in lots of different places. But you'll see at a high level, we can start to get a look over what's happened the last 3 days. I can see, you know, our availability is 93.3%. So let me go in and take a look here. So availability is one of the key ones. I'd like to know before ops knows that it's down, and certainly before our customers know. So let me take a look here.
So this is what people sometimes call application performance monitoring.
Yes, and oh man, we had some problems the other day. It looks like we had some really high times in there. We've got lots of failures in our tests here. But I can also see that we fixed it. We fixed it because if you take a look here, we actually have build deployment markers. So because Application Insights is part of our ALM process, we know about information like deployments like we just did and builds that have happened and the source code they came from and the work items that are all involved. We've got this 360-degree view of what's happening here, and so I can see what happened there. Now, let me dive in a little bit more. So I'm going to come in here. One of the things for availability is you can have two kinds of tests. You can have basically a basic ping test. So you can say, hey, is this page available? Is the order page available? Or you can reuse your web performance tests like we've just used in our automated testing and in our load testing. We can reuse those for availability too. And so what those do is they're synthetic transactions. So in this case, it says, hey, can I make an order? Not just that the order page is there, is can I make an order? And so we can define what that means. But you can start to take a look. These are our tests that are being run at production across all the world. We've got 16 different locations. So you see those down here, including one here in Moscow. But I can see I've got a few problems.
Scroll down again. So what you're telling me is that those web tests that I created in Visual Studio, I can use from all these points of presence
exactly.
as a way of checking that my site's behaving as I expect.
Exactly. So I've got it running every 5 minutes. It can tell me, hey, is it going over a certain amount? And then it'll email me as soon as I have a problem.
So I'm reusing the tests in production.
Exactly. And so we've got a few problems here. If I look in here, let's see. London. London's got a problem there. So I'm going to take a look at it. And what I can do is, the great thing about this being part of Visual Studio Online is that it knows about Visual Studio as well. So for example, this one had a particular problem, and I can download the web test result and use Visual Studio like I'm familiar with to figure out what exactly went on here. So I can start to see, hey, here's the request, and here's what I got back, and this is the test result that came back from the London data center. So I can get all this great information from production.
And that was running against the production site.
Exactly. Another thing I can do, and you know, the ops guys have taken my privileges away from production because I did go and attach that debugger to production, which I'm not supposed to do.
Right.
But I still need that information.
Right.
And I can understand why ops took that away from me. So what I can do now is I can actually gather performance information straight from production.
Right.
Including the data and everything. And so what you'll see here is we're actually, Application Insights is able to discover our dependencies, things like databases and services and all that. So we're able to see what those are and kind of what we're doing with them. But we're also start to show you kind of the 10 slowest things that are going on here. I can take a look in here. Here's one that looks pretty bad. Oh yeah, look at that. I'm going to double click on that to get some more information about it. But really, I need to know what's happening. What's that stored procedure that's happening? What data am I passing into the stored procedure that's causing this problem? So what I can do is I can download the IntelliTrace file, and I can open that up in Visual Studio. Oh,
so
we'll give it a second here.
So Insights is sorting for you what the slowest calls are, and for those, without your doing anything, it's gathering IntelliTrace, which you can then go open in VS.
Exactly. And one of the new things that we've done is, since Application Insights knows about the builds and the deployments and what source code that came from, like the branch and the version of those, we can actually go in and I can open the solution. I can open the solution of the source code that's actually in that environment, so for production in this case. So so you'll see right in here, it knows which one it is, and it'll open it up for me, and I can start debugging and running back what happened at that particular time. So it's a great part of that as well.
Okay. So what you've shown me is that I've got a way of managing the performance and health of the application.
Exactly. I love using this even in dev and test environments too.
Right.
So we find out all sorts of stuff.
Right. So what about the usage?
Yeah. So as we go back to planning, Yep. We sit down and we say, how do we prioritize our backlog? And yep. how do we prioritize even bugs, you know, as we start to yep. fix them? So what we can also do is I can figure out usage information for my customers using my application. So we've got a couple of out-of-the-box examples. So for example, we'll see, you know, how many customers are going over time. I can start to put in sessions and activities and what those activities actually are and customer loyalty and all sorts of great information. There's also some environmental information. So for example, what operating systems, we'll give it a second here. There we go. What operating systems my customers yep. are using, what browsers they're using. So we can kind of prioritize which bug fixes we do and investments we do. But the really nice thing is, Sam, you want very specific information. You want those on a dashboard. So we like to our scorecards.
Right.
So what we're able to do is we're able to take the SDK for Application Insights, and I can give you whichever data you want. I can put up new developer custom tracing information, or I can go in and put specific metrics that you're interested in, and we can put those back on the dashboard for you. So great stuff there.
Very cool. And so this is coming on as part of Visual Studio Online. You saw that blue box. You can request your invitation code there. You'll get put on the waiting list. We're onboarding people as fast as we can. It's right now in what we call limited preview, meaning we don't charge you for it, but we will be bringing several thousand users on, and we're improving this continually, and we hope you try it. Okay? So what we are doing here is we're combining three product categories: application performance monitoring, usage analytics, and log mining, so that you can make data-driven decisions about how to improve your application running in production based on improving the performance and health of the application, based on what features do you do next or what features do you do less of because they're not getting used, and where do you as a developer go deeper with your investments in the product backlog as you go further, and how do you instantly go from time to detect to time to repair on your application. This takes us from agile development, where we were going very fast, to agile delivery, where we weren't going so fast, but now we can go very fast as well. Okay. That's Application Insights. We also are making some announcements about what's happening in the partner ecosystem. It's not just what Microsoft is delivering, but 74 of our partners have announced SimShip, that is this week available with Visual Studio 2013, their partner products. I'm going to highlight a few of those offers. We talked about Xamarin. I want to talk about data integration across TFS and other servers from OpsHub. So if you're using HPALM, or you're using ClearCase, or you're using other servers, OpsHub has integration available and discounts for MSDN subscribers. Perfecto Mobile has a device cloud to let you test on Android and iOS devices. Frog Logic is also providing heterogeneous device testing. And EdevTech is providing formal requirements management for those of you who need to do more formal requirements management than we do in TFS, for example, for regulatory requirements. EdevTech is also announcing its smart office for TFS, which gives you Word and Visio integration with TFS. Now, we're taking Visual Studio Online. Today, it's not quite as full-featured as Team Foundation service, but we're taking it forward. You'll see a lot of investment from us in this direction. We'll be taking it further into an enterprise service platform. So, for example, you'll see much more with directory integration. You'll see much more with process customization. You'll see much more with reporting. You'll see much more with integration with other products. You'll see much more as we take this to be a hub for your development. You'll see us take the what you saw today as the beginnings of that DevOps cycle with release planning and management. And you'll see us extend that so that you no longer have this isolated release planning up here with planning and release management down here, but you'll see that really is a full cycle so that you get visibility from the plan through the delivery into release of the running bits. And that analytics with Application Insight will continue to grow out and deliver you much more than you see today as a full DevOps cycle, not just for the developer, but for the business decision maker as well. And we're extending that, and that will all come on board as you watch in the near future. And with our release cadence, you'll be seeing improvements 3 weekly in the service, and we'll bring those back roughly quarterly to the on-prem products. Now, if I want you to remember two things from this morning, it's that with Visual Studio Online and Azure, you have a platform and tooling for cloud development that is best bar none. They work together beautifully, covering the life cycle. And this is a new era for Visual Studio. With Visual Studio Online, we're talking about taking what has been the world's most popular IDE and team development environment, and we're bringing it into the world of services. This is what you're getting with Visual Studio Online. This is what you're getting with Visual Studio 2013, Azure, and MSDN. Now, if you haven't signed up for this, please do get started. You can get started at visualstudio.com. Register for Visual Studio Online. You saw there's a little green button. Get started for free. Apply for the Application Insights Limited Preview. You can, as an MSDN subscriber, you can download today Visual Studio 2013. Get access to your Azure benefits. As you saw, you can manage them from the portal. You can manage them from inside Visual Studio. Just go do it. It's all there now. Two events you're interested in. There is a Cloud OS Summit here. I think this is sold out to capacity on site, but please, you can participate online in 2 weeks. Here in Russia, it's the 27th, and this is not yet sold out. There's an ALM summit with our colleague Brian Keller, who's coming in February. This site has just opened, so go ahead and go to the site and register, and you can join us for more, and there will be more news by then in February. That's all we prepared. We hope you have a great day. I'll be here all day. Ed will be here all day. Please catch us. And we look forward to talking with you. Thank you very much. Thank you.